Just preach your word, Lord, for the ability to hear your worship, Lord, to hear your word today. Lord, I just pray for your message, Lord, that you've allowed me to preach today. Lord, I just pray that you would, the Holy Spirit, Lord, that he would just open our ears, our hearts, Lord, our minds to just receive your message today, Lord. And these things I pray. Amen. So don't we all wish that we had an undo button in life? I wrote this story for something that happened in the past, but today was a perfect example of an undo button. We were late to, I made Katie late to worship this morning. And then after we got here, I forgot my sermon at home, so I had to go back and get it. So I wish I had an undo button for that, but we don't get an undo button in life. When I was going through seminary, taking some of the classes, we typed up so many papers. I used the undo button on Word so many times. There was one time that, I thought, oh, I wish I had an undo button in my life, you know. So one time I was cutting my hair before Katie, I used to cut my own hair before Katie got her license, and I messed up. And I wish, oh, I'll just undo it. And I can't because I already shaved it off. So I asked Katie, can you fix my hair that I messed up? And that day I wish I had an undo button. But today we're going to read a passage in Luke. I wonder if the woman had wished that she had an undo button in her life. Unfortunately, we don't. You know, we make sins, we make mistakes, we have to live with them. So today we're going to read about Luke 7:37 through 48. And just to get some background about the story today, just the Pharisees, we'll read that there will be Pharisees in that day's society. And the Pharisees would be someone, that they saw Israel as such a sinful society that they tried to set themselves apart from them by living righteous lives. In today's society, that might be someone that likes to brag about that they go to all the Bible studies, that they go to both services, that they raise a bunch of money for orphans in Africa, that they like to just brag about themselves. And the woman today we'll read in today's society would be someone that might be from, the outcasts, someone that might be, homosexual, or someone that might not be what we see as the righteous person. So let's start reading today. Again, it's in Luke 7, 37 through 48. And I'll start here. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's home, brought an alabaster jar, a flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man was a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. He answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, of whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turned towards the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kisses, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But who is forgiven little, loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. See, as we read that, Jesus was reclining at the table, and the woman behind her just started washing his feet, putting ointment on his feet. Simon becomes upset because he said, Simon then becomes upset that Jesus would allow this sinful woman to do this. Just by looking how Simon welcomes Jesus into his home, we can see that Simon thinks of himself more righteous than the woman. Jesus then rightfully rebukes Simon, and we see Simon's problem was not that he was living a righteous life, that he obeyed the law, but his problem is that he did not realize he had a sin debt as well. As Christians today, we need to always be reminded how condemned we were before being made white as snow. We should never think of ourselves as righteous, more righteous than others, because we once had a sin debt. Katie has a lot of friends at work, and just the nature of her job, they're not Christians. I think most of them are not Christians. She has a friend at work that he's a homosexual. For me, I always felt that, I always felt that they were just outcasts. There's no point in, we won't see eye to eye. There's no point in talking to them. There's no point in trying to, hang out with them or be with them because we're so opposites. But the other day, Katie tells me that, so-and-so is going to come over for dinner. Is that okay? Oh, sure. And I realized at that moment that it's not about accepting the person as a whole with their sin and everything. It's accepting the person with love. So it was a good time. He came over. We hung out. And I really feel like that really touched him, just being able to accept him in our house for who he was. So as Christians today, we are so worried about our cultural values, our Christian image. It could be hard to let others in, and often easy to stay in our Christian cocoon than to venture out in search for the lost. So we are so worried about the culture, preservation of Christianity, that we blockade any advancement to show the outcast love. So I have some questions. When was the last time you ate dinner with someone that was addicted? When was the last time you sought after a young man or woman that came from a divorced family? When was the last time you welcomed someone that was homosexual over for dinner? When was the last time you prayed for a person at work? In Luke, it says, in Luke 10, too, it says, the harvest is many, but the workers are few. We need to get out of our Christian cultural cocoons. We cannot sit in our Christian cultural cocoons and protect our self-righteous image. Because if we look at Jesus and what he did, he didn't do that either. Loving unsaved friends does not taint our righteous image. Habitual sins and living a life of sin does. I'll say that again. Loving unsaved friends and neighbors does not taint your righteous image, but your habitual sins and living a life of sin does. If you love someone and welcome them into your house and just love on them, that's not them being associated with you is not going to taint your righteousness. But if you live in front of them as a sinful person, that's more damaging than you welcoming them in and associating with them. So if we look back at the story, when I read that, I felt, oh yeah, there's one for Jesus. We feel all warm inside when Jesus rebukes Simon. Like, yep, showed him. Simon is rebuked and taught a lesson, and the sinful woman is saved. What a great ending to a story. But let's look at verses 47, 48 again. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Christians are directed to imitate Jesus and to be ambassadors for Christ. Yet some cannot forgive other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's kind of funny because a lot of times it's easier, everyone's different, but for me especially, it's easier to forgive someone that's lost than it is to forgive someone that's another Christian. So this is one of the hardest acts for Christians. We may forgive someone on the outside, but harbor bitterness on the inside. It's easy to forgive the lost. It's harder to forgive the saved. But let's look what Paul says in Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ forgave you. And he also says in Colossians 3, 12 through 13, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then we go to another verse in Matthew 6, 14 through 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. You know, when we look at forgiving people, we tend to forget that passage. It's in the Lord's Prayer. It's in this. It's all through the Old Testament. Jesus says that many times. So why do we struggle with forgiving other Christians? Why do we get so upset that their brother or sister in Christ sins against us? Because they should know better, right? They should know that they're not being loving towards us. They should know that they've done us wrong. They should know to treat us more with love. But look at Matthew 6, 14 through 15 again. I will not argue of what the passage means as far as if you don't forgive someone and they won't, then God won't forgive you. But some may take the passage as a warning that if they do not forgive, they won't be forgiven. Though I do not deny this as a warning, I believe that there is a deeper meaning to this passage. It is a reminder that we were condemned, and only through God's saving grace do we receive salvation. You know, part of our lease agreement that we have, Katie and I have, I talked to our landlord, and you know, Katie had all these great ideas about planting a tree or doing this and doing that. And I asked them, I go, because part of the lease, you have to make sure it's okay. I asked, if we do this stuff? You can do whatever you want to the outside, anything you want. And okay. So that summer, we got it all ready to go. We started. Katie plucked a bunch of weeds. I plucked a bunch of weeds. I threw down mulch, made it look beautiful. And the next month, mutatious weeds started coming back. We worked so hard, and my dad can tell you, I don't like yard work. We worked so hard to get that garden how beautiful it could be that we could possibly get it. And within a month, because we live so close to the lake, that they were just already overtaken. And we didn't do maintenance on our garden. So as Christians, we can do the same. It's the same thing for us. If we don't maintain our own hearts of people that have sinned against us, if we don't choose to forgive them, you know, it is the same thing where unforgiveness of other Christians is like properly tending a garden. So we can daily pick malicious and bitterness out of our hearts and choose to forgive someone, or we can harbor them and let them grow into an uncontrollable, unforgivable, hardened heart. Write this down. Forgiveness is standing guard every day. Forgiveness is standing guard every day. Forgiveness is not just, well, I'll get over it eventually. I'll just let it go. You know, I'll just get over it if the time goes by. Forgiveness, sometimes it takes choosing to forgive that person and standing guard every day that Satan will not remind you, that you won't cause you to start having bitterness towards that person. Unforgiveness and bitterness towards others leads to gossip and hatred if we let it manifest. But you might be asking, Spencer, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know the persecution I've received. You don't know what kind of things I've gone through in life. You're only 25. You don't know. And I'd say, yes, you're right. I don't know. I do not know, and I'm not going to stand up here and act like I know exactly what's happened to you. But Jesus does. Jesus, both God and man, was whipped, beaten, mocked, spit on, speared, hung, nailed, and bled on a cross. He forgave those that persecuted him. So we are called to forgive those that persecute us. So as I was going through my sermon, I believe that everyone has someone that the Holy Spirit has been putting on their heart. Everyone has someone that came to mind as I was preaching. If this person is a Christian that needs to be forgiven, then forgive them. If this person is a lost soul, you are the one that is supposed to reach out to them. You don't need to preach theology to them. You don't need to tell them how sinful they are. You don't need to show them 10 easy steps to fix their lives. All you have to do is invite them over for dinner. Invite them to a cup of coffee. Invite them and their family to spend Christmas morning with your family. Whether if they are Christian or not, all you need to do is reject the sin and love the sinner. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, just pray that we would be able to just absorb your words, Lord. Absorb, what you've told us today through your word. Lord, I pray that you would give us the ability to just think of people, Lord. Be intentional with people that we need to reach out to, that we need to pray for, Lord, that we need to share and share our lives with. Lord, it's as easy as inviting them over for dinner. It's as easy as just showing them love, showing them kindness. Lord, I pray for the people, Lord, that are thinking of these people that have done them wrong, that have sinned against them, has said some things that may have been mean, have done some things that may have not been right. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would be able to forgive them and stand guard every day, choosing forgiveness. Lord, I pray that in the remaining of the week, Lord, we would go out. Some people are maybe traveling, Lord, or getting back from travel, Lord. Pray for safe travels. Lord, I pray that we would think intentionally, Lord, to forgive, Lord, and to love other people as Christ loved us. In your name I pray. Amen.